Okay, there are going to be spoilers aplenty in this. So if you don't like spoilers, don't watch this one. The spoilers are going to be about, well, I'm going to tell you right now, the ending of every movie about environmental resistance stinks every single time. And this is whether it's a documentary or whether it's a piece of fiction. Like Food Inc., I thought was a really good movie up until the end, about how agribusiness is destroying the land. It's about how it's destroying communities, how it's destroying nutrition. They do a really good job of laying out the problem. And then their solution, one of their solutions, I'm not kidding, is that you should buy organic yogurt at Walmart. I'm not making that up. And every movie ends this way. You can have this movie about how, I mean, you know, An Inconvenient Truth lays out global warming. And then the solution, put more air in your tires, switch your light bulbs. This is the whole bright green movement too, is, you know, global warming could wipe out humans. Oh gosh, what do? Let's switch to windmills. Let's switch to solar. Those aren't solutions to a problem of civilization killing the planet. And what is sparking this right now is I just watched the movie A Woman at War. And I know a lot of people whose opinions I really respect who love the movie. And I'm going to give you the plot of the movie. So if you're going to go see the movie, then, and you don't want spoilers, then stop right now. This is your last chance. 1, 2, 3, last chance. Okay. So the movie starts off great. It says this woman who notches an arrow. I mean, she puts an arrow, she pulls back the arrow and shoots it over power lines. And the arrow is attached to a cord, and the cord is attached to metal. And then she pulls and pulls and pulls until she's able to, bridge the three power lines with the metal and short them out. And she knocks out the electricity to, looks like aluminum smelter or some sort of factory. And that's great. I mean, it's a great beginning. And then she goes through, I mean, it ends up that she's done this several times. Everybody's on alert. It's like, what's going on? And there's a lot of the movie is the police are trying to catch her. And, then we're going to add another thing. She has a twin sister who this is going to end up just like Tale of Two Cities. She has a twin sister, who is very much into yoga. So we have the conflict between sort of the meditation yoga and the acting and the action. One sister is very active. The other sister is very much into self-improvement. And there's a really nice exchange where the active sister says to the non-active sister, the meditating sister, you know, your meditation doesn't actually help the planet. And then the person writes a manifesto, the active sister writes a manifesto, and she's going to, and she releases it, and it gets spread all over. They show some people reading this and looking interested, and then the government spins it that she's a terrorist who wants to kill everybody, and it ends up that is the dominant narrative that takes the day. So she's very disappointed with the release of her narrative. Meanwhile, 4 years ago, she applied to be to adopt an orphan from Ukraine, whose parents were killed in the fighting there. And she just finds out right now that she got accepted. And she hadn't even thought about it for a couple years. She thought, since she didn't hear from them, that it was all done with. So now she's faced with the choice of helping this child. And again, I'm going to spoil everything. She, you know, so far the movie's going along fine. I have some problems, some stylistic problems. I would have cut a lot. Every time it shows her doing Tai Chi, cut, 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 you're not actually advancing the plot. And I would have used that for, some other, to bring up some other subplots. Anyway, she eventually gets caught, and then her sister, comes in. I know this is pretty hokey, but her sister comes in to visit and has arranged for the power to be knocked out to a prison. they got generators, but leave that aside. The power to be knocked out to the prison so nobody can see them for like 5 seconds. They switch clothes at the sister's insistence. And then her sister, who was going to go off and meditate for 2 years, is now instead going to just meditate in prison for 2 years because she's pretending, they're identical twin sisters. She's pretending to be her sister. And the other one goes out and goes and gets the child, goes to Ukraine and gets the child. And then things are terrible in the Ukraine. She goes on a bus with the child and it's flooding and the bus gets stuck in water that's too deep. And then the final shot of the movie is that, they get out of the bus and she is walking along through this interminable flood, this apocalyptic flood, carrying the child. And it's very clear, and that's the end of the movie. And it's very clear that, and what he's saying is with, I mean, the bus fails, technology is going to fail, and we will be left walking through this flood. I mean, Noah's flood that kills, that destroys the world. And she is literally carrying the future. She's carrying a child. I mean, it's some very clear symbolism. And it also, what is the meta message that's given? The meta message that's given is that her resistance did not work. It was ultimately useless. And instead, she should stop being a woman at war and become a woman who was at war and who is now a mother. And that's the real meta message of the movie. So I find it really discouraging. But I think the reason that a lot of my friends really liked it is because, you know, I've never forgotten this line that I heard about homosexuals in movies in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, that there was a homosexual who was saying that we were so desperate to see images of ourselves portrayed in the media that we would watch an entire movie just so we could see Joan Crawford wearing a pair of pants. Or so we could see one person, we could see one allusion, A-L-L, one allusion to someone who might be gay. And that might be, you know, we were so desperate for that. And I think right now, that line I think about, because we are so desperate for any signs of environmental resistance, that man, if you show a woman shooting an arrow and taking out, and later on she takes out a power line, she blows up with Semtex. And if you show that, it's like, man, you've got my loyalty and you can put whatever other crap you want in the movie and I'm not going to complain. And the movie, there were some other problems in the movie too that I could forgive everything but the end. And I would forgive everything but the end because it had some resistance. But again, this is why my friends liked it, is because it showed resistance, but ultimately it was a damp squib. It didn't go off. And that particular problem, I mean, if they would have brought me in as a script doctor, I would have, like I said, cut 40 minutes and added all sorts of subplots with building up resistance. But if they wouldn't let me do that, I could have fixed the end by adding not a single line of dialogue and only 6 shots. Not scenes, shots. And here are the 6 shots I would have added. When she releases her manifesto, they did show reaction shots. People, she literally threw it off a building, which is A, not very smart, but B, I think is a callback to the White Rose Society in World War II, who literally threw the anti-Nazi leaflets off buildings. And anyway, so they showed people picking them up and they would show them reading them and getting a little bit excited. And the directors made a joke about people retweeting this everywhere. And so they did that, but they didn't do anything with it. So here's what I would have done is when you're doing all these reaction shots of people seeing the manifesto, which they read out some of the manifesto and it was really good. It was about how the world's being killed and there are more important laws than legal laws. There are the laws of a living planet. And how the living planet is more important than legality. That was some nice stuff there. Anyway, what you do is when you're having people read it and react to it, you show 3 people. And each of these 3 people, you show only long enough that people can recognize them later, but no more than that. And one of them is a 62-year-old engineer. One of them is a 20-year-old student. And one of them is a, let's say, 50-year-old parent. And in that shot, you show in the background that their children are old enough that if that parent disappears, they'll be okay, and you show another parent there. That's all you do. You show those three reaction shots. And then at the end of the movie, after you show her walking, trudging through the flood, having herself given up because now she is going to raise a child, after those, you show three more shots. You show the engineer notching an arrow. You show the student pulling it back. And then you show the parent releasing it. And what that does, it changes the entire message of the movie because her resistance caught on. That's what we need, is environmental movies and books and environmental stories that show the resistance carrying on and show resistance commensurate with the problems that we face.